too much of my time is going towards, and back then I didn't know how to call it, now I know, goes towards basically worthless fiat money. That is just a waste of my time, my skills, my best years. So I've decided to just drop everything and just focus on my goal, which was to be a full-time musician. This is what I wanted to do. I might as well be totally broke. I mean, I'd be broke either way, so it doesn't really matter, right? And just put all my time and energy into developing my career as a musician. And so I did, and I was extremely broke for quite a lot of time, but I knew that it doesn't matter. But I knew that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had this, you know, now I know it's a maxi state of mind.
In this episode, you'll meet Noah Grumman, the powerhouse lead singer of Scardust and a proud Bitcoin maxi. She also breaks down her powerful song, RIP, a tribute to Satoshi Nakamoto and the sacrifice he made to give humanity a second chance at freedom. One of her lyrics says it all: emerge from the sorrow and claim your life back. Here's a clip from her song, RIP. Watch till the end for the full video. Welcome to the show. Today I have Noah Grumman. It's such an honor having you here today with me, Noah. I am such a big fan of your music.
Thank you for having me. It really means a lot. I know this music is not everyone's cup of tea, so it means a lot to me when people get excited about what I do.
Where are you from?
From Israel. So I come from a very musical family. My two parents share this passion for music. They've always shared this passion, even though they are not professional musicians, but they've always played together, sang together. We always had music playing in the background of whatever it is that we were doing as kids, you know, growing up. So, and we're four siblings, so we're a big family, and we've always kind of growing up, played together, sang together as a family. So I grew up in this world. So in a way, it was kind of written for me in the stars. But at the same time, my parents always made sure to encourage me to, quote unquote, have a real profession, highlighting the fact that music is basically a hobby, right? It took them years to acknowledge the fact that this could be a profession.
Do your parents like your music?
Yeah, they are extremely open-minded. My mom is like a classical spirit, so she comes from a classical background, and my dad is rock and roll. And I think the fact that they managed between the two of them to share a lot of similarities in music, coming from such extreme backgrounds, kind of opened each of them to any kind of music. And I think this really set up a nice ground for me to grow and develop into my own genre and exploring more genres.
How did you meet the band?
I mean, it's a different story for each band member, but I have started the band with Old Didi, and I actually found him back in high school. We bonded over playing music together and started just jamming together, and found out that we both kind of share the same musical vision. So we've started writing music together. And this is how we first started writing for Scardust at a later point. And the other band members is, you know, it's been a crazy roller coaster with each and every one of them. But we have a really good group of superhumans. Well, Didi? Yeah, at first he didn't play in the band because he's actually blind. So he's a brilliant musician, a brilliant instrumentalist, and a multi-instrumentalist. But he didn't really see himself on stage at, you know, dark places with people and stuff he didn't know. So he just chose to kind of stay in the background and write music until around COVID. We had our original bass player left the band, and he just decided to step in and, you know, try out, play live. And he did for several years until he felt like he cannot do it anymore. So now he left. But yeah, he's been totally, and it taught me so much working with him, because it taught me that you can use your senses in so many different ways, unexpected ways.
Do you have a production team?
So we've been very fortunate to been working with a filmmaker named Lahav Levy. We've been working with him since 3 years ago. So everything you see from 3 years ago on is his work. And apart from him, we are surrounded with a lot of brilliant people that are like a big community, or like a big family, if you will, that are all passionate about just making nice things. And so, yeah, and we also do a lot of it ourselves, like the styling you mentioned, the styling, we do it ourselves. A lot of the art you see in the videos is DIY, but most of the credit has to go to Lahav Levy, honestly.
Tell me about how you created Rip, your song about Satoshi.
In the process of creating this video, we first had to picture who this character was without speculating, right? Because we didn't want to go there at all. It's just about feelings mostly, and about what this character went through, making the decision to disappear. So we thought of him as like a little bit of a rebel, a punk. He listens to metal, obviously, and he is isolating himself in this lonely shed that is filled with all of his inner world. So he has his PC with the screens, with the programming. He has Bitcoin magazines all around the place. He has the white paper everywhere. He has keys and locks, because he, you know, that's a metaphor, but also we thought he, you know, while thinking, he picks locks. That's like, it fits with his, you know, character. And he's also an artist. Yeah. So he's a music fan. He's a punk. He's an artist. He's a rebel, and he's a genius. And we wanted to dress him as like a little, you know, punk with the black hood. Everything is black because it's mysterious, and he's kind of under the radar. And then we use the skull for his mask. He wears a mask because he's anonymous. And the skull is the death metaphor, because he's basically killing his personality in order to gift the world with his invention or with his discovery. Yeah, and this was a fun process to make this mask, because we ordered this mask, the base of the mask, like a skull mask that you would find at any next door Halloween store. But then we bought like a lead stripe with this bright blue, and we weaved this strip. We kind of weaved it around the eyes and the mouth to kind of accentuate the character. So it really, and then, you know, at the end of the video, you see the actual image that he's painted, and it raises up questions, because you see a mother and a child. And then he leaves the shed into like a white void. And it leaves you to think, did he leave to go back to his old life, or is he pursuing a new life? But the old personality is killed. Like, he literally takes off the mask and he throws it on the ground. After he's drilled in all of his hard drives to destroy them. And for that, we also used like death metaphors. With this entire song is a big death metaphor. It's called RIP, but it's actually RIP, because you rip something out. And it's both. It's a play on word. And then like when he drills into the hard drives, he assembles the drill like you would a gun. So it's like everything is like killing the character and kind of sacrificing himself to gift the world with Bitcoin. Must have been so heartbreaking.
Does the whole band understand Bitcoin, and who wrote the song?
Some of them on different levels. Well, it did come from me at first. Like, I wrote the lyrics, and we kind of, I wrote the lyrics and the melody, and we kind of developed it together. But I must say, it was not written on Bitcoin. It was, when you just look at the lyrics, it could speak about any story about, you know, separating from someone for their own sake. It could be romantic. It could be, you know, many, many things. The video is definitely about Satoshi. We don't hide it. It's even in the credits, because everyone is Satoshi and we're all wearing this mask in the video. But this song could be about so many different things. And this is kind of how I like to write. So every person can relate on different levels in different directions. When I write lyrics, it's not just one thing that's in my, normally, it's not just one thing that I'm focusing on. I kind of draw inspirations from different places and I put them together.
How did you come up with this unique style of music?
I'm a classically trained musician. I studied classical piano. So there is this part. Obviously got massively influenced by classical music growing up. But also growing up, like I said, my dad was, he is still rock and roll. So he played a lot of Queen records and all kinds of, you know, 70s and 80s rock. So got super inspired by that. And, you know, Freddie Mercury with his amazing stage personality and theatricalism, I don't know how to call that.
You're such a natural performer.
Thank you. I mean, you would think it comes natural. I don't think it comes natural. I think it's, as a kid, I was actually very insecure and kind of, you know, I was afraid to kind of show myself and be, you know, loud. So it took many years of convincing myself and daring and trusting myself. So yeah, and also learning from everyone, from my teachers, from other artists, from colleagues.
What were your musical influences?
When we started Skardust, the big influences starting out were bands like Dream Theater, possibly the biggest progressive metal band nowadays, and also Nightwish, a huge symphonic metal band. So these bands kind of combine metal with classical influences. So it's not just one genre. I'd say it's a range of genres. And you just call it, like we call ourselves progressive metal. But I think what it actually means is that you have a range that you can create within. And this range is super wide. So you have the freedom to express yourself however you like. And back to your question, I think everything I listen to can inspire me. So it doesn't matter if it's, you know, folk, pop. I love pop, for example, especially like Iggy Pop, Whitney Houston, etc. And I love Disney. I love jazz. I love everything.
Yeah. Your voice is unbelievable. In some ways, it reminds me of Disney.
Yeah, people call us Disney metal.
I'm Greek, and I also noticed one of the instruments you use sounds Greek.
We've used oud in our song Unreachable. Maybe you're referring to that one. It's like it's like a Middle Eastern string instrument that looks and sounds a little bit like guitar, right? But it's smaller and round. Yes, yes. We used it on our song Unreachable. It was a collaboration with a Jewish Arab orchestra. So they play both like Western instruments, but also Middle Eastern instruments like oud. In Rip, there is something else that's interesting, not an oud, but we have collaborated with a Turkish string orchestra. So you hear also the Middle Eastern influence with the strings, which is pretty special, I think. Thank you. And for us, it's close to home. It's a sound that's actually quite familiar here. So it excites us because our music is normally quite Western, but then we like, you know, giving some hints of where we come from, or, you know, like I said, everything is inspiring. So we look around, we hear a super nice violin line that is in a scale that's not common in the Western world. And we just want to combine it in our songs, you know?
Have you always wanted to be a singer?
Yeah, I think I've always known. I told my mom that I'm going to be a musician when I was 5. So I think I've always known, and I have tried out other things, but I always got drawn back to music until I think I was, I don't know, early 20s, maybe 21 or 22, around that time. I have decided to drop everything else because, you know, I was young, I was struggling to make ends meet, like all young people, I think, or most. So I was waiting tables, babysitting, all of that. And I was a student at the same time. It's just, it felt like, okay, this is too much of my time is going towards, and back then I didn't know how to call it. Now I know, goes towards basically worthless fiat money. That is just a waste of my time, my skills, my best years. So I've decided to just drop everything and just focus on my goal, which was to be a full-time musician. This is what I wanted to do. Back then, I just realized that whatever I earn now with those temporary minimum wage works, jobs, is just worthless. So I might as well be totally broke. I mean, I'd be broke either way, so it doesn't really matter, right? And just put all my time and energy and very, very little money that I did have into developing my career as a musician. And so I did, and I was extremely broke for quite a lot of time, but I knew that it doesn't matter. And I, again, back then, I couldn't put a title on it. I couldn't call it any names, but I knew that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had this, you know, now I know it's a maxi state of mind. I truly believe that what mom tells me is based on a fiat mindset. And if I truly believe that I could do that, I could be a musician, I could develop this to a point where I am, in terms of skills and personality, but also financially, be totally free to be a musician.
Bitcoin really does give you the freedom to be creative.
Because I work in the arts. So I see people all around me, musicians and other artists, who are kind of trapped inside this 9-to-5 prison. And, you know, they wake up every morning, they go to work, they come back exhausted in the evening. Of course, they would not have any energy to do any arts after they're back. The weekends are the very short little time they have to spend with their family or with their partner, and then back to work again. And they try to be artistic, they try to create music or whatever art, but they are trapped in this endless loop. And it really pains me to see that. Even if or when they are successful, like they play a super high paying gig and they're super proud of themselves, as they should be. But then they get all this money that in a year or two is just worthless.
Does Skardust tour?
No, we do. We do travel. We try to travel as much as possible. We love touring. We have toured Europe, UK, and China. We have played one gig in China, which was great. Yes. Unfortunately, since a year and a half ago, it became more challenging for, you know, for because of where we're from. Hopefully, this will calm down as soon as possible. I don't want to go too much into politics here, but it's not really about politics. It's more about we're not very popular, not in terms of the fans, but more in terms of venues need to hire bigger securities, festivals need more securities. It's just, you know, there's protests everywhere. So I think just venues, promoters, and festivals just don't want to or can't afford to deal with this at the moment. They try to avoid it, unfortunately. Right now, we've been only playing Israel since everything started a year and a half ago. But hopefully soon we will be able to be back.
Are you in danger where you live?
No, it's not. It's not like that where I live or where I work. Apart from, you do get the occasional siren, and then you need to run to a shelter. So this happens, unfortunately. And one thing that's really bumming me out is that, for example, recently there was a missile from the Houthis aimed at our airport. So they canceled like most of the flights, and we are supposed to attend the Bitcoin Film Fest in Warsaw this upcoming weekend. And our flight got canceled because of that. And this is a result of this war. Luckily, we got a new flight from the only airline that still operates. Hopefully, it will not get canceled so we can make it, because this would be my first ever Bitcoin event outside of Israel. And I am so much looking forward to it. We're going to present this video, RIP, and we're going to talk about it and give a workshop. And I just cannot wait. Super excited.
Is this going to be your first Bitcoin conference?
This will be my first one.
Would you ever perform at the Vegas Bitcoin conference?
I mean, in Vegas for sure.
I would love to see you perform there.
We've thought about it. Yeah, we even thought about this year, but it was too much of a short notice to arrange for the entire bands to travel, but maybe next year.
You have such a big crew. How do you all travel together?
Yeah, so I mean, okay, so when we do a big show, a big local show in Israel, we normally have the choir with us on stage as well. So this is like a huge production. I mean, luckily Israel is so small, we don't even need buses. Yes, yeah, so outside of Israel, it's not very doable, so we use backing tracks. But, you know, one day when we're big enough and we can afford traveling with everyone... But when we travel, it's not just the five band members. We have a crew with us. At least three people, at least, but preferably more than that, because you need all the help you can get on tour. You need a sound engineer, light engineer, a tour manager. You need a driver, somebody to do the merchandise, a videographer. So there is a bunch of people like joining us. There is a store online that sells Skardust merch. Unfortunately, still... haven't figured out how to connect it to our lighting wallet. One day we'll find a way. I know that this one is a tricky one, but it still works with just fiat for now.
Do you have a manager?
We have a regular band manager. We have two band managers, and they are based in the UK. So they're not from Israel, but from the UK. Super nice. I met them when I was visiting London for something different, and it was back in 18, I think, 2018. We have just released our first full-length album in 17. So I was walking around the world, everywhere I traveled. I had a pack of CDs with me. And whenever I would meet somebody from the industry, I would give them a CD. I would say, check out my band. No matter, you know, a sound engineer, a producer, an agent, like, if they are... working in the industry and we get along, I would give them a CD. So I just met Tony, our manager. He was doing like sound recordings for an event at a concert venue in Camden in London. And he just seemed like a super nice guy, and a mutual friend introduced us and she said, you should give him a CD. Like, you have to give him a CD. And so I did. And when I was back home, I had a long letter waiting for me from him saying that he just fell in love with the band and he wants to join the ride, you know? He wants to join us and he wants to help out. And it started out with just, you know, him making some phone calls, making some connections, and it just developed into a long-term relationship. And I think there is no other way when you work with people. I think everyone needs to be passionate about the project. Otherwise, it would just not work.
Thank you so much for joining me, Noah.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. It means a lot. Thank you. All the best.
Now presenting Skardust, RIP.
Rip on my heart, I've gone astray. We'll be right back.